The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino. This program explores the issues and people making news regionally and nationally on AM 870, The Answer.
Coming up on this edition of Sunday Morning Newsmakers, State Senator John Morlock will join us from the 37th District. We'll discuss many of the key bills this legislative session, including a bill that would reclassify many independent contractors as hourly workers. Robert Pondicio will join us, a teacher, education journalist, and the author of the book, How the Other Half Learns. We'll talk about a new state law that blocks California public and charter schools from suspending students who disrupt school activities or otherwise willfully defies the valid authority of supervisors, teachers, administrators, or school officials. Major Williams is a Pasadena resident running for mayor in 2020. We'll talk about his campaign. But first, we continue our series, At the Heart of the Homeless Crisis. The homeless outreach agency that was meant to move hundreds of people from the streets into housing, shelters, and treatment for mental illness and substance abuse failed dramatically to meet the goals of its contract with the city of Los Angeles. A story we told you about a few weeks ago, a report that was released by Controller Ron Galperin. The audit found that despite having more than doubled its staff of outreach workers in the last 2 years, the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority missed 7 of 9 goals during the 2017-18 fiscal year and 5 of the 8 goals last fiscal year. Now, the folks at LASA responded saying, wait a second, there's no place to put some of these people, and that was one of the goals. They hadn't put enough there. What do you do? How do you address that? Well, talking about it, updating us on the story, a man who knows this issue well, is the CEO of Union Rescue Mission. Andy Bales, it's good to talk with you again. Good to have you on the program again.
Thank you, Larry.
We continue our series at the Heart of the Homeless. Having you here almost weekly really gives us a chance to tackle some of these issues and correct things if they're wrong or underline things if they're right. The response to this, some people were shocked. Other people said, you know what? It's kind of just pile on. We know there's a big problem. There's no roofs to put them in. LASA is not going to have that great a response. It's an overwhelming problem. More needs to be done. Where do you sit on this? When you hear a report coming out, do you go, ah, bad LASA? Or do you say, big problem, LASA needs to do more, but we need more housing?
Well, it is a huge issue, and I didn't pile on in social media or on the media on LASA, because I do know how hard this work. It's almost impossible work. But I will say, I predicted what Ron Galperin would say. I met with him. I knew what he would say. And there's more coming about how we've utilized Measure HHH and not utilized it the wisest. But LASA is also in charge of creating those places to stay. And the Measure HHH plan decided to do very expensive apartments for as a solution.
You always talked about the granite countertops.
Granite countertops, $527,000 to $700,000 per person, per unit, with granite countertops, rather than sprung structures that are $10,000 per bunk, per person, heated and air-conditioned. And I know, you know, people deserve more than a $10,000 bunk, but the truth is, they deserve more than the streets. That's the most important fact. And if we want to get people immediately off the streets in an urgent FEMA-like, Red Cross-like, National Guard-like response when there's 44,000 people on the streets, then we need to do it in an affordable, efficient way, not at 527, not at 700. And I'll tell you the truth. Outreach workers do give up. I mean, I talk about, let's talk about a whole new group. PATH gets $5 million a year to outreach to people on the metro, but they find there's nowhere to take them. So what do you have to do first? You have to create places where you can take people, and then you spend millions on the outreach. And the Metro has within its rule that it could provide land for sprung structures working with LASA. But LASA made a conscious decision, as well as the county, the city, everybody else, that they would spend all the money on a few while they leave the many on the streets. So they cannot blame Ron for calling out the ineffective outreach when they are the ones responsible for creating the places to go. We're all in this. We've all made a big error, and we need to reconsider the plan. And I will tell you, the mayor is reconsidering the plan, because he was told to do four sprung structures or structures of any kind in each of the 15 districts, 60 in all. He went for 15, one in each district, but now I hear he's doing 29, and now I hear he's doing 88. If we do 88, that's 20,000 people off the streets this year.
Well, the buck stops here, as they say, and there has been a lot of pressure on this mayor, saying, look, I mean, there have been national, you've been on some of the shows, those Fox News programs that all they have to do is drive around with a camera slowly going across some of those streets down near Julian and all that stuff, and you just see it, and even next to the City Hall, just going up First Street there.
Well, thank you for putting on the pressure. The media actually has been responsible for putting on the pressure and a call to action, and we're beginning to see action. And the problem is, we have to keep the pressure on in order that we get the follow-through action.
And in the mayor's case, a lot of this stems from, you know, before he decided not to run for president, he was out of the city and in other places and campaigning. And a lot of people thought, you know, look at your own streets. You've got some issues here you've got to solve. If nothing more, it's really been a wake-up call. If he hopes to have future political aspirations, if he'd like to really be appointed senator when Feinstein retires, he's got to have a win here.
Well, he's on it, right? So let's get him all the support. I keep crying out for a FEMA-like, Red Cross-like, National Guard-like response, and I hope the mayor and all will be receptive when the federal government comes and offers all of those resources, because this is a crisis. I mean, you could say that Skid Row itself is a national disaster. In fact, it's the biggest man-made disaster in the United
States.
Right.
You look at these shots of, you know, the islands, you know, where after one of these hurricanes goes through, and you see a decimate. We get that. We see that. What's different about this? Nothing. It's a slow burn, but it's been happening, and it's on our streets. And you've talked about the health concerns, you know, the potential for plague-like illnesses, right?
Let me tell you what I saw as I left. In fact, I had to intervene. A man with a broken arm, already in a cast, was beat up by a gang across the street from my office and maced, pepper sprayed. And he was searching for help and crying on the street and pounding his broken arm in a cast on the pavement, and not one soul went to assist him. And I opened up my window, and I yelled downstairs at our dock, and I yelled for a security guard, and I said, call a medic. And they said, well, the medics are going to show up, and they're going to look at him, and they're going to leave him. And I said, at least we will do our part to get him the help he needs. That scene can be repeated over and over. And the reason I say a National Guard disaster, along with Red Cross and FEMA, is the gangs rule Skid Row, and they come from every neighborhood in L.A. to prey on the most vulnerable, sell drugs, sex traffic, all backed by violence. And that's what's going on Skid Row. It is a national disaster.
So if we see the green trucks pull up and armed people get out with military uniform, you would not consider that, you know, this is our own country, we shouldn't turn the military on our own. You would say it's time to clean that up. And if they're lined up, much as you see, if you go to New York City at the airport, they're guys with the, you know, automatic weapons out, ready to go.
Well, if you all are okay with a gang requiring a lady's social security check in order for her to sleep on the streets of Skid Row, then don't call for help. If you're okay with gangs ruling the streets, 53 square blocks of Skid Row, every gang having their own block. If everybody's okay with that, don't call for help. I'm not okay with it. I'm going to do everything in my power to put the word out to ask for help.
We are doing our segment at the heart of the homeless crisis over the weeks and months that we do this. I thought when we started this, we were going to tell the same story over and over again. Every week, it's different. You've already shared with us a story of what it's like on the streets. You shared with us on another episode your personal journey and what happened to you in exposure on the streets and losing a leg. Share something with us this week. Give our listeners a sense of this story from your perspective. You're there every day.
So I get all the notices of medical calls that happen at Union Rescue Mission. I am overloaded from emails of folks who are devastated by homelessness. We're seeing things from our guests we have never, ever, I don't think I've shared this with you. We're seeing behavior from people that we welcome into our building that I have never seen in 33 years of working with people devastated by homelessness. I didn't think I could see anything new, but we've left so many people on our streets for so long. We are seeing behaviors that I have never seen. If I shared them with you, you'd be aghast.
Mental health issues.
Mental health issues, which turn into behavior issues, which I don't think people could even imagine.
How did we get this way? I asked this to a guest one time, and they said, well, one of our former presidents said, who was a governor, and then he said, no, we need to close these mental health hospitals. People need to be mainstream.
Yeah.
Is that the story?
President Reagan has been gone far too long. He's been out of office as governor for far too long for us to put any of the blame on President Reagan. We are responsible for the neglect, the long, decades-long neglect of people in need. We haven't created the new small group homes that were required to make his plan work out. We have not provided anywhere to go. Lhasa has not provided anywhere to go in these last decades.
But why? Is it because human nature, we have to look back at ourselves and be honest? I don't want them in my neighborhood.
Well, and we all share that, right? If you're not willing to allow a good manager of a home in your neighborhood, if you're not willing to welcome people under a roof and held accountable and case managed and required to be in good behavior, and you're okay with leaving 150 people running the streets, then yeah, we are all at fault.
So there was a story about, I guess, Koreatown. There was going to be a tent quickly going up and a parking lot there, and the neighbors quickly activated and they blocked that. Is this what we're talking about? That if we, because neighborhoods do activate, they look at their home prices, their home values, they look at what the homelessness brings to their neighborhood. So
you want 150 people defecating on your sidewalk? Or do you want them to have facilities and showers and a roof over their head and accountability and case management? Because how much does your home price go down if there are hundreds of people on your streets making it unsafe to even walk outside? So we've got to rethink. But I also say the groups that manage the homeless, they have to share with neighbors and assure neighbors that we're going to operate this properly. We are not going to allow people to use meth and heroin and have drug dealers stopping by and guys that break your legs when you don't pay your bill.
Right? We're out of time. Give us the website.
URM.org. And we continue to be the place that welcomes every mom and kid who shows up at our door.
Andy Bales, thank you.
AM 870, The Answer. 3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.